Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Hey, thank you, choir and musicians. Thank you for leading us all morning long. Hey, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 18. Where we're going to be today as we continue our series on Go and Tell. And today I want to bring you a message that really goes hand in hand with the song we just, the choir just led us in about breaking chains. And it's a chain that many of us will deal with. And it's a chain that can be broken, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves connected back to it. And it's the chain of discouragement, despair. It's that point where we really wonder, do I want to keep going? Do I want to just walk away? Do I want to continue to live out my faith? Or do I want to continue to gather with a body of believers? Or am I just kind of ready to walk away? What is it that we can go to? What is it that we can learn from the Word of God that keeps us encouraged and gives us the strength to go in a world that's so divided? I mean, our world is divided. I said we've really gone in my lifetime from a time where many people saw that, I'm talking about outside the body of Christ, they still saw within the church an answer to life. And now many people see the church as one of the problems in society, one of the enemies of society. So it's so easy to be discouraged and to get down and wonder, is it worth it? Well, what kept the Apostle Paul going? Because I think the world that we're really living in now is much like what the Apostle Paul lived in, where everywhere he went, there were those who were going to rise up against him as he would share about the Messiah. He would share about his faith. And that's where we are today. Many people are going to rise up against us and see the church and see the message of Jesus Christ as a big problem in the world today. Well, how do we not be discouraged and move forward? Or how about in Paul's life where he was let down? He was let down by other believers. He would see himself let down as by Barnabas, by John Mark. And that can be sometimes the hardest thing to keep us going, is when we feel like somebody around us, somebody close to us, maybe even a family member or a fellow church member disappoints us. Sometimes that can be the hardest time for us to take encouragement and continue to move forward. So how do we do that? How do we see that in the world? Well, we're going to look at Acts chapter 18 today, and maybe this message is for that person. You really are at that point where you say, I'm kind of ready to quit. I'm ready just to walk away from gathering with believers in a church. I'm ready to just kind of walk away from walking with Christ. What do we find strength in that keeps us moving forward each day? Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 18, and I'm going to go down to verse 17 today. It says, now after these things, remember Paul had been in Athens preaching, and some laughed at him. Some said, we want to hear more, but it said others believed. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius the emperor had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Now, why would they have come to Corinth to make tents? Well, Corinth was a large city. It had a Colosseum. Now, the Colosseum didn't rival the Colosseum that was in Rome, but they had athletic games there. They had the gladiator games there. And because it was a transient place where people would come in and out, they didn't need permanent dwelling, and they would dwell in tents. They would purchase tents. So it was a great place for a tent maker to be. So that's where Paul is. And he meets Aquila and Priscilla, and they are making tents together, but they're also doing ministry together. Verse 4, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" And we see this shift in Paul's ministry where he's been going into the synagogue, and that was his pattern. He is going to focus his ministry on going into the Gentile world. Verse 7, "And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, who was one who worshiped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision." The vision said this, Lord said this, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, so he would have been the Roman leader in this area, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Galileo said to the Jews, "If this were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason that I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and the names and your own law, look into it yourselves, for I do not want to be the judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sothenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Galileo took no notice of these things. Again, Paul, everywhere he goes, you can literally go back, not just Paul, but from our entire study in the book of Acts. But let's even go back to when we were in the Gospel of John. As Jesus carried out his earthly ministry, there were those people who rose up against him. As Peter and the early disciples began to share the gospel, people would rise up against him. Now, as Paul is saved, he was once the antagonizer. Now he is sharing his faith, and people are rising up against him. How do you have the strength? How do you have the courage to keep moving forward when it seems like all the world is coming against you? All the world is saying your faith is useless. All the world is rising up. How do you have the continued strength to move forward? Let's look at three things today that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul that I believe was the encouragement that he had to continue to move forward. First of all, we are strengthened by fellow believers. We are strengthened by fellow believers. Now, if we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he always had believers around him. It began with Barnabas. And Paul didn't say, "Well, I'm the Apostle Paul. I don't want anybody to slow me down." As he goes out on his first missionary journey, as he would travel, he had people who were with him. He had Barnabas that went with him. After Barnabas and he split up over John Mark, he takes with him Silas. As Timothy is beginning to be discipled, he takes Timothy with him. And all of these are mentioned in these passages. But now, in verse 2, we learn of two others, Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife who love the Lord. And we're going to see their discipleship in the early church. In the end of this chapter, we're introduced to a man named Apollos, who he knew a great deal of the Old Testament. He knew that the Messiah would come. He even knew that there was one named Jesus, but he didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Aquila and Priscilla are the ones who discipled him and taught him the truth of the gospel. But Paul never sought to do everything on his own. He desired for fellow believers to be around him. He would use these believers to carry out the ministry that God had given him, not use them in a bad way, but use their gifts, and he used them as a source of encouragement and strength in his own life. Matter of fact, at the end of his life, you can read this 2 Timothy, this beautiful passage, as he's writing out to Timothy at the end of his life, and he says, hey, come to me quickly. Come minister to me. Come to me quickly. Bring the books. Bring the parchments. But he wanted fellow believers around him because he got strength by having those believers nearby. Now, I think that's a great message for us today because, especially in the West and in America, you know, we're even described as we're the rugged, individualistic people. And we want to do everything on our own. We want to, even in the church context, we like kind of the lights to be turned down, and we kind of want to slip in and slip out without being noticed. We want to be able to kind of come and go and no one get into our lives. Matter of fact, this is how faith is often described. If you talk to somebody about their faith, they'll say, well, my faith is a very private matter. You know, what I've learned in many years of walking with the Lord, if somebody says their faith is a private matter, it may mean they don't have a faith. They just don't want to talk about it. But nowhere in Scripture do you find where faith is a private matter. Faith is to be lived out within the body of Christ, to be lived out in our neighborhoods and where we work, to be lived out in our lives, but also to be lived out in the context of a local church, a body of believers, where we can encourage one another, where we can hold one another accountable, where we can be an encouragement in each other's lives. You know, when we read in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, don't forsake the assembly together. So often we hear that in the context of, well, God desires to be worshiped. So God wants his children to gather together and worship him. And I certainly think that's there. God not only desires to be worshiped, God is worthy of our worship. But God also knows what we need. And God knows that we need other believers around us to disciple us. We need believers around us that we can pour into. Believers around us who will walk and encourage us as we both try to live out our faith. I've got a group of two guys that I meet with every month, sometimes more than once a month, two fellow pastors in the area, Dwayne Milioni at Open Door Baptist Church and Stephen Wade up at Faith Baptist. And we get together and we break bread together. We meet and talk and we hold each other accountable. Matter of fact, I love these guys. And if you heard some of our lunches, you may wonder if we even liked each other. I mean, we get in depth. We ask hard questions and debate and argue. But it's not because we don't like each other. No, we love one another. And we know that we need one another in our lives as we seek to live out our faith and lead the church as a local pastor. And you need that as well. You know, at the 9:45 service, where we have many people that come into that service that aren't connected with a Sunday school class or a small group. And that's, I long for people like that because I'm like, okay, well, who's speaking into your life? It's easy to come in and just sit and listen to a sermon. But you could stay home and listen to a sermon. But a Sunday school and small group are so important because it is a smaller group where we are able to pour into one another, share with one another, disciple one another, walk with one another, live with one another as we are seeking to live out our faith. You need that. And I really pray that you would not be satisfied with just kind of coming in for an hour and hearing a sermon and then just walking away. No, we need the encouragement of other believers in our lives. See, Satan will try to isolate us. And in our culture, that's so easy to do. I mean, we live in a world where we look on a social media page and we have supposedly thousands of friends, but we have very few people that know what the two struggles are, the true struggles are in our lives. We need fellow believers. We need them in our lives. And Paul, even in his position of apostle, wanted other believers around him as he was doing ministry and living out his faith. Why? Because we're strengthened by fellow believers in our lives. Secondly, we are strengthened by changed lives. We are strengthened by changed lives that as we walk with Christ, as we're being faithful with sharing Christ, as we are being faithful with going out and ministering, we're going to meet people. We're either going to see their lives changed or we're going to be able to talk with people, and part of their story is a changed life. See, everywhere Paul went, there was turmoil and there was division, but also everywhere Paul went, people were saved. Everywhere he went, people came to faith in Christ. And can you imagine the encouragement that was for Paul? Let's just look at a few that are here. Look in verse 8. It said, Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. Okay? Here was a leader of the synagogue. And he, upon hearing the message of the Messiah, he embraces Jesus as his Savior. Well, that spreads as he believes, as it goes into his household. But then look, and many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. So we see that it begins with Crispus, his family. It then goes to many. In verse 17, we were introduced to a man, another leader in the synagogue, called Sophanes. Okay, who was Sophanes? Well, here he's getting beaten by the Greeks. And there's debate in Scripture about why he was being beaten. Some people say he was being beaten because he had embraced Jesus Christ as Savior. Other people say, no, it was because they thought he had kind of flubbed up the case against Paul. But as we're introduced into the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul begins that letter, you may say, where have I heard the name Sophanes before? Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, I, Paul, greet you along with the faithful brother Sophanes. Okay? So you've got two leaders in the synagogue have embraced Christ. We have the Crispus's family embrace Christ. It says many others in Corinth have embraced Christ. So even though there was division, even though there was turmoil, you saw people embracing the name of Jesus. And I believe that was an incredible encouragement and an incredible drive to the Apostle Paul, who, as he has this call on his life, he's blessed to see because he's being faithful with people embracing Jesus. I was sharing this message with a man in our church this week, kind of giving he wanted the Cliff Notes version on Thursday, and I was talking about this point, and he said, well, you know what you're talking about, don't you, Marty? I said, no, what? He said, this is the ROI. And I thought, Roy? What do you mean ROI? And he said, this is the return on investment. Well, I think we ought to be careful using terms like that. I understood what he was saying. But I do think the Apostle Paul took great encouragement. And I think we can take great encouragement, and it will motivate us when we understand and see what Christ is doing in the lives of people. Because listen, when we see changed lives, it reminds us that there is a life changer. And just as that life changer changed our lives, he can change the lives of others. That just as he brought salvation into our life, he can bring salvation in the life of others. And it can be a great encouragement for us to move forward. This on Wednesday, I got a call from a dear friend that I grew up with. And Dale, throughout our high school and even into college days, he was a guy who would say he had faith, but really would do nothing but belittle faith. He would belittle church and talk about how unimportant it was. But if you would bring out about salvation, he would say, "Oh, I walked an aisle, I prayed the prayer." But yet everything he spoke on was really tearing the church down instead of his desire to be part of the church. Well, in 1997, and we just continued. So this goes on over a decade after we graduated high school. But in 1997, Dale was radically saved. And we had been praying for him. And just through some events in his life, we were able to share with him. And he embraced Jesus as Savior. And everything in his life, everything changed. How he did business changed. How he talked changed. Just every part of his life, you could see a person who had surrendered their life to Jesus. Well, he called me on Wednesday. This is 22 years later. And he started the conversation. I said, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" He said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Well, I'm driving, so yes, I'm sitting down. Go ahead." And he said, "Man, you're not going to believe this." He said, "You know, our church, he's part of a local church in the Hickory area. He said, we're gonna start a Bible study down in kind of the center of the city, center of Hickory, and in an area there's really not a church right in this area, very similar to what we're doing at Hawthorne and North Raleigh." And he said, "Marty, here's what's amazing. Our church is, they want me to head it up. They want me to lead this. Can you believe that?" I said, "Yeah, man, I can believe it." I said, "Man, you'll do great. Man, I prayed for him. He's just so excited. He's going to teach the Word of God." And I hung up that phone. Let me tell you, he was encouraged, but I think I was even more encouraged. Because here was a life that had been radically changed. I had gotten to see that, and it gave me the encouragement to go out and share with others, to go out and continue to want to live and teach and preach and proclaim. And if we will be faithful, see, one of the reasons we don't often see changed lives is, one, is we do isolate ourselves. But number one, we're not faithful in sharing and speaking into the lives of others where we can hear their story and hear what God has done in their lives. So Paul constantly was seeing, even in the midst of turmoil, he was seeing changed lives. He was gathering with fellow believers. That's what we need to do. We're encouraged, we're strengthened by believers in our life. We're strengthened by the fact that God changes lives. So what's the third thing we see? We are also strengthened by the Spirit of God. So we've got the people of God. We've got the people who God changes their life. But we really can't neglect the Spirit of God, how the Spirit of God ministers into our lives as well. We see this in verse 9 and 10. "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision." And we're really not told, was there a threat against Paul? Was there someone who said, "Hey, we're going to kill you, we're going to harm you if you don't stop preaching"? We're not really told that in Scripture. But the Spirit of God, the Lord, comes in a vision and speaks into Paul's life. And he says this, "Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And Paul continued there for a year and a half to proclaim the gospel, to teach, and to disciple. But it was the Spirit of God that spoke into Paul's life. God knew exactly what Paul needed, and the Spirit of God was there to speak into his life. And in a discouraging world, in a world where maybe we're threatened, or maybe we're thinking about quitting, we're thinking about walking away, not being a part, not having a desire to live out our faith, we need to make sure that it's at these times that we don't close our Bible and neglect prayer, but that we open our Bibles and spend time in prayer. Because will God speak to us in visions today? He certainly can. He can do whatever he wants to do. He could speak in a vision. But God also speaks to us through his word. We have the word of God at just an amazing access. It's in the books. It's in the Bible that we have. It's on our phones. It's on our iPads. It's on our computer. It's in our car. We have tremendous access to the word of God. So the Spirit of God speaks through the word of God. We're able to speak to God through prayer, and he ministers to us through prayer. So it's at the discouraging times that we need to yield our lives, and we need to listen to the Spirit of God through his word and through prayer. And again, so often I find people, they're really struggling with the courage to move on, or they're just kind of ready to walk away. And then you begin to talk to them, you say, well, you know, how's your prayer life? Well, I quit praying. I didn't feel like I could get an answer. Well, are you in the Word of God? No, I'm not reading the Word of God. But yet that's exactly what we need in those times. I've now taught at the seminary long enough that many of the students I've taught in preaching and pastoral ministry, they are beyond the honeymoon phase of ministry. They are now in their 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th years of ministry. And so now I will get calls from former students, and it'll be, you know, they'll talk about all the terrible things that are happening in their church, and they'll say, "Hey, I'm just ready to walk away. I'm ready to quit." And I say, "Well, if you'll let me, I've just got one rule. I've got one rule. If you want me to speak into your life, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't find at least my rule specifically in Scripture, but here's my rule. I say, don't quit on a Sunday or a Monday. Whatever you do, don't quit on a Sunday or a Monday. See, on Sunday, everything is raw. It's just raw. And on Monday, it can be rawer. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to get away from your phone, get away from your computer. I want you to get a Bible. I want you to get a legal pad and a pen. And I want you to go away. Listen, the people who love you, they'll know how to get a hold of you. But I want you to spend whatever the rest of the day is, Sunday or Monday or whatever day they call. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just get alone with God. I want you to dive into his word. And I want you to spend time in prayer. And the reason I want you to have a legal pad is because everything you sense God speaking into your life, or however his word speaks in your life, I want you to write it down. Church, I've had guys come back after 2 days to have an entire legal pad full of things. And it's something about being in that atmosphere for 2 days. They're not ready to walk away. They now see what God is doing and how God is ministering and how God is speaking. Now, what was that? It was the Spirit of God speaking into their life, bringing healing through his word and through prayer. Well, if that's good advice for my former students who are working in ministry, it's good advice for all of us. You know, if you're discouraged and you're in despair and you just look at the world and the world looks half crazy, now is not the time for the church to close the Word of God. It's time for us to open up the Word of God. It's time for us to let the Spirit of God speak into our life to give us the courage to move forward. Here's a beautiful example. We don't know what the threat was, but the Spirit of God knew exactly what Paul needed to hear. And he spoke into Paul's life, and Paul would continue proclaiming the gospel. Now, I once read a story of a young boy whose father had given him a task. They were going to plant a field that was near their home, and right in the middle of the field was a large rock, a large stone that was right there. And the dad said, "Son, I don't want to plow around it. We need all the space we can. So your task for the day is I want you to move the rock." The little boy went out, and he pushed the stone. He pulled the stone. He tried to roll the stone. He tried to pick up the stone, and nothing he could do would help him move the stone. He just couldn't budge it. So very exasperated, he just goes back to the house. The father sees him. The father comes in and says, "Did you get the stone moved?" And the little boy said, "No, Dad, I couldn't do it." He said, "You couldn't do it?" He said, "Dad, I tried everything. I pushed it. I pulled it. I tried to roll it. I tried to lift it. I tried everything." The dad said, "You really tried everything?" He said, "I tried everything." And then the dad looked at the son and said, "Well, you didn't ask me." How many right now in this room, you're discouraged, you're in despair, and you think the answer is going to come with your intellect, with your knowledge, you're going to work it all out. If you can just get one break, boy, if this will come through, if this sale will happen, if this will happen, if that will happen, if all will line up, boy, if I hit the numbers in the lottery, everything will be okay. And the father says, "You haven't asked me. You haven't asked me. You've not used the people of God as a source of encouragement. You've not been faithful in sharing and pouring into lives where you see the people who've been changed by God. You're not reaching out to the Word of God and being ministered by the Spirit of God. You've not contacted or used me." I don't know where you are, but Paul constantly had people and circumstances opposing him, but he continued to move forward. What keeps us encouraged? I pray that we see it today. We need one another. We need His Spirit speaking into our lives, and we need to be encouraged by the people who God has changed their life. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us when we try to live out our faith on our own, to live out our faith just isolated from others. Lord, help us to see how we can be an encouragement to others and others can encourage us. Lord, help us to be faithful in sharing, where we see what you're doing in lives. And Father, help us to be dependent upon your Spirit. And Lord, let your Spirit bring healing and minister and give us the encouragement and the courage we need to move forward. Lord, however you would use this message, use this time, Lord, I pray that you would draw men and women to yourself, men and women, boys and girls, that you would speak and that we would respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919 919- 847-447-4477. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.